This is Radio Superior 1944, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1944. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now into the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
You're listening to The Voice from the Head of the Lake Station, KUWS. And this is Jack McKenna, reminding you, your job well done may save somebody's son. It's Monday night, May 15th, 1944. Lou Martin's standing by with the World News Roundup. We've got the best music in the world from the 1944 Hit Parade. And Red Cross nurse Maud Fiske will be in to urge you ladies to help fold surgical dressings. Hey, there's got to be some way we could have fun with that.
That's not a good idea. Nurse Fiske is not fun.
I think that she misses me. Well, the 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Roth's Department Store, where they have the summer men's sports shirts on sale from $1.75. Evening, partner.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Captain Robert Johnson has tied Major Richard Vong's mark of 27 kills in air combat. We begin our World Shortwave Radio report at a U.S. fighter base somewhere in England.
This is the British Isles. Dwight Pitkin reporting. Thunderbolt pilot Captain Robert S. Johnson shot down 2 enemy planes over Germany today, boosting his total to 27. He ties Major Richard Bong as America's ace pilot and becomes the first European pilot to pass World War I ace Eddie Rickenbacker. The stubby blonde youngster from Lawton, Oklahoma, asked for 25 more combat hours after he completed his regular tour. 24-year-old Johnson has been shot up 3 times. His fellow flyers credit his courage and skill for keeping him alive. Captain Johnson says Nazi pilots are, quote, no better, no worse than American pilots, but he says they lack initiative. Captain Don Gentile of Piqua, Ohio, has the most kills, destroying 30 Nazi aircraft, but 7 were destroyed on the ground. Captain Johnson is home on leave. P-38 Lightning fighter pilot Bong of the northern Wisconsin village of Poplar was the first to top Rickenbacker's mark, although Major Gregory Boyington, who is now missing in action, and Major Joe Foss of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, tied Rickenbacker. Foss is on inactive duty. For those keeping count, 2 RAF aces have topped all American fighters. Group Captain A.G. Sailor Milan has downed 32 Axis fighters, as did late Flight Lieutenant Brendan Patty Finnegan. Milan is on ground duty. One other note, Flight Commander George Screwball Burling of Canada has 31 kills. He is also not on active duty. Reporting from an airbase in England, this is Dwight Pitkin. Calling Italy, come in Naples.
This is Allied Headquarters, Naples, Italy. Correspondent Nolan Norgard here. The Allied Fifth Army has launched an all-out offensive with French troops capturing the town of Ausonia. For the first time, this breaches the Nazi Gustav line in southern Italy. Americans have smashed the enemy out of Santa Maria Infante and San Pietro on the lower Garigliano River. The big Allied offensive farther north has British and Indian troops sending great numbers of tanks to the Lirio Valley, a direct route to Rome. The only sector where the offensive has quieted is north of the casino. That's where 2nd Polish Brigade has had heavy attacks in the past 2 days with help from Algerian and Moroccan troops. Nazi forces are shoring up defenses and bringing in fresh troops attempting to stop the Polish forces from advancing. The hope is that after 4 months of bloody fighting trying to capture Monte Cassino, Allied victory may be near. That would clear the way from Anzio in southern Italy to Rome. At Allied headquarters in Naples, this is Nolan Norgard calling Switzerland. Come in, Geneva.
This is Geneva, Switzerland. Alfred M. Schock, Associated Press. The full-scale Allied push in southern Europe is led by heavy bombing, including on the Reich capital of Berlin. On the 29th day of the pre-invasion aerial offensive, German radio reports heavy air battles, acknowledging for the first time that this was the prelude to a European invasion. The Invasion Eve aerial offensive against Western Europe thundered into its fifth week as fresh streams of bombers crossed Dover Strait from England. Targets included train centers, synthetic oil, and industrial areas of Belgium, France, and northwest Germany. Of the 2,000 Allied bombers, 42 bombers failed to return from the mission. In Geneva, this is Alfred M. Schock, Associated Press.
The Chinese High Command announced a major offensive in the western Yunnan province, crossing the Salween River on many points. Major General Claire Chennault's Flying Tigers are assisting efforts of the Chinese to link up with Lieutenant General Joseph Stilwell's troops in northern Burma. In the Southwest Pacific, General Douglas MacArthur announced for the first time Dauntless dive bombers had rockets fixed to their wings. The Dauntless bombers struck Rabaul, New Britain, sinking 40 barges. Barges are the last hope for the isolated Rabaul garrison to evacuate. In Washington, the Senate Naval Affairs Committee unanimously approved the nomination of James Forrestal to succeed the late Naval Secretary Frank Knox. An effort to end poll taxes in southern states was rejected today by senators. The 44-35 vote ended a lengthy debate which would have made it illegal to charge a tax to voters in federal elections. Eight southern states use a poll tax, which critics say keeps poor people from voting. Voters in California and New Jersey are expected to favor a fourth term for President Roosevelt in primaries tomorrow. Oklahoma and Washington state voters pledged their delegates to the president over the weekend. Tomorrow's vote will give FDR 677 delegates. 589 are needed for nomination. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed I do, Lou. From Ross, the summer essentials are here for men. In or outer sports shirts, however you want to wear them, you can get what you want. By Truval. $1.75 to $3.95. In these busy days, men like shirts that are comfortable. Shirts that can be worn with or without a tie, in or out of their trousers. Ross has T-shirts, too. 65 cents to $3.50. Hey, don't forget, you'll be going swimming this summer. They've got swim trunks from $1.25 to $5. Well, that's Ross for you, friends. With their summer essentials, you got to go down there and take a look.
America's ace fighter pilot, Major Richard Bong, is home on leave, but this time he's ducking the crowds. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Hundreds of people from Duluth, Superior, and northern Wisconsin waited to alight from the train at the Superior Depot this morning, but all were disappointed. Only Major Bong's dad, Carl, got off the train in Superior. It seems the Chicago Northwestern made a stop in Solon Springs first. That's where Major Bong, his mother, Dora, and his girlfriend, Marjorie Vattendall, got off. From there, they drove to the Bong farm home at Poplar. A man who dreads public appearances and, we're told, radio interviews, Major Bong hopes to spend a quiet 3 weeks leave on his family farm home. After his leave, Major Bong will study deflection shooting stateside and then return to the Pacific to instruct pilots. Major Bong, his mother and girlfriend, are coming from Chicago, where they were guests on a special Mother's Day radio show, Mothers for Victory, on Sunday. They also appeared on the National Barn Dance Show Saturday night from WLS. Sounds like he couldn't avoid the dreaded radio interviews after all, Lou.
No such luck. The mother of the Dionne Quintuplets was back in Superior yesterday to christen the USS Gwinnett at its launching. Last year at this time, Mrs. Olivia Dionne escorted her Quint daughters as they christened five victory ships at the Walter Butler Shipyards in Superior. This time, she was accompanied by Superior mothers Mrs. Andrew Sislow and Mrs. C.B. Everett. Mrs. Everett has five boys in the service. Mrs. Sislow has six sons in the military. First Lieutenant Leroy Campbell of Superior has been seriously wounded in action. The War Department notified his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Charles Campbell, of Lackawanna Avenue yesterday. 21-year-old Lieutenant Campbell is a navigator on a B-24 with the 8th Air Force in England, flying bombing runs over Europe. He was wounded April the 22nd. This is the second time that he's been wounded. He recovered from wounds received December the 31st, 1943, and returned to active duty. Governor Walter Goodland has named Superior Attorney Walter Dahl to replace Superior Court Judge Archibald McKay. Judge McKay died unexpectedly a week ago after he fell on his way to work. The 82-year-old Judge McKay was born and educated in Canada. He began his career in Superior when he was appointed assistant city attorney by the then-mayor F.S. Parker. That was in 1901. He was appointed Superior Court Judge in 1924. Judge Dahl is 46 years old and was assistant Douglas County District Attorney. And the first reporter engaged by the Superior Evening Telegram has died. Charles Dexter Skillings was hired in 1890 and worked for the Telegram for 6 years. That was the time when reporters peddled newfangled safety bicycles to rush to stories around Superior, and there was a vicious competition from a dozen smaller newspapers. Always interested in mining, Mr. Skillings founded the Skillings Mining Review in Duluth in 1912. Until taking sick a year ago, he was the editor of the Mining Review. His two surviving sons, Philip and David, are now running the review. The wartime Air Corps program at Superior Teachers College is closing. Lieutenant Robert Hargrave gave the last day of classes for the 352nd Aviation Detachment students. He said it will be May the 25th. Students will leave their barracks, and the building will return to its pre-war title of Crown Heart Hall. Over 50 girls are planning to attend STC summer school and are scheduled to move into Crown Heart in June. And finally, Jack, a member of the first graduating class of STC will be at the annual alumni banquet at Crown Heart Hall, May the 27th. Dr. Arthur Dudley Gillette graduated with the class of 1897. Dr. Gillette is superintendent of schools in Eveleth. Banquet Toastmaster Judge Claude Cooper will also read letters from alumni serving in the armed forces.
Kind of ironic, Lou, that they put the cadets up in the girls' dorm. Now, that might make a good trivia question about 50 years from now. Thanks, Lou. Let's check our forecasts for this Monday evening, May 15th, 1944. It was a fine spring day, sunny and 79 degrees. Tonight's low expected to be around 50, with a chance of rain tomorrow and a high of 72. It's music time, friends. Here's Louis Jordan and the General Jumped at Dawn on the Martin and McKenna Show.
The general to the captain,
Pops,
we're gonna cause a commotion.
Then one early Monday up and gone, the general jumped at dawn. Sent the captain to the private,
man, we're gonna flannel this here channel.
Then one early Monday up and gone, the general jumped at dawn. Bye bye, bye bye,
I'll see you in the sky at Versailles.
Drop in, drop in, have a barbecue in old Berlin. Said the private to the general,
check my jeep, it's jumping, it's steady.
Then one early Monday up and gone, the general jumped at dawn.
Now the general had a million men of every creed and belief, the white, the yellow, the black man and the Indian chief. He said, you boys are groovy fellas, all American men. Now you boys are plenty plump, and then the general jumped. He took a guy called Ensign Swanson, Boston Rosenberg too, Corporal Kelly, Morelli, just to mention a few. Lieutenant Jordan, Sergeant Jackson were all on the call. Said, we're going on the road, you really
on the ball. Jumped at dawn to help General Eisenhower. Jumped at dawn.
Hey, the swinging music of Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five The general jumped at dawn on station KUWS. Well, Lou, what's up?
Yesterday was the first Mother's Day for five superior ladies.
Good old Mom. I spent many a day at her house. We had milk and cookies and cake and then a nice big dinner.
Yes, that's nice. Anyway, the six proud mothers...
She made ginger snaps, believe it or not, and I helped.
You're a good son. The new mothers include Mrs. Herbert Martinson, Mrs. John Grimsrud.
It's easy when you've got such a great mom. Good old mom. She made a great spam roast for dinner, too.
It sounds more like it was Jack's Day than Mother's Day.
We pooled our sugar ration coupons, and she made a spice cake. Boy, it smelled so good baking, I just couldn't wait. I wish every Sunday could be Mother's Day.
Sounds like it would be tough on your mother, though. Like I was saying, first mothers also included Mrs. James Baumgartner, Mrs. Henry Hausletter, Mrs. Frances Clark. Four of the babies were born at St. Joseph's Hospital, and one at St. Mary's. As is the tradition, all babies born on Mother's Day are delivered free of charge.
Well, good timing then, eh? For all you moms out there, from all your good sons, this one's for you. That marvelous duet, Dick Hames and Helen Forrest, with their big hit, It Had to Be You, on the Good Sons Radio Show.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be me, might never be cross or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do.
For nobody else gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still.
It had to be you, wonderful you.
It had to be.
For moms everywhere, from good sons like me. Vocalizing were Dick Hames and Helen Forrest, and It Had to Be You, on station KUWS. We need to get Engineer Joe in here pronto, Lou.
Something needs fixing?
Yeah, this whole surgical dressing thing with Nurse Fiske.
What's up? We off the air? Got static in your headphones? Spill coffee on the turntable again? You know, Jack, you're the only one who puts his coffee cup on a turntable and then turns the turntable on.
Well, when it's set for 78 speed, that coffee cup darn near goes into orbit. We're going to have the Red Cross nurse in here in a couple of minutes to get volunteers to fold surgical dressings.
This is serious stuff. Your country needs you, I think.
That's right. Between the three of us, you're the best suited for the job of modeling the surgical bandages with Nurse Fiske.
No, you don't. You can't get me to take that bait, boy. Engineers aren't going to bite on that one. No, siree, Bob.
What's wrong?
Oh, this modeling business is pretty demanding work. Now, I'm often asked to model this and model that. Well, you know, when you're blessed with a wiry frame like mine and a, well, Barrymore-like profile, well, the hangers-on can make life miserable. I won't do it.
It's for your country and the men sacrificing their lives.
They need those surgical bandages to save their lives.
Well, it's just that once you start modeling, I'd get discovered. I'd end up on the cover of Look or Life or Ladies' Home Journal or Engineers Monthly, for crying out loud. Then everybody wants my autograph. It's the end of my normal life.
But you don't lead a normal life now.
You practically live here. Sleeping on the couch in the engineer's office?
Well, I'm dedicated to my job, is all. All right, I'm in.
This one's for you, Joe. Here's Captain Glenn Miller and his American Expeditionary Force band. Brand new, it's called Mission to Moscow on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Well, time to wrap it up now, which always finds us ready, especially when it's Mel Powell's fast-stepping salute to the Soviets, Mission to Moscow.
Glenn Miller and his American Expeditionary Band stationed in England now, and Mission to Moscow.
It's my pleasure to introduce Red Cross nurse Maud Fiske.
That's Miss Maud Fiske.
You're here to talk about the big surgical dressing drive.
And
and I'm here to help. I'm your model.
You're my model. You're my model? You're my model?
She gets a lot of mileage out of just three words, you know.
No, now don't thank me. God favored me with my rugged good looks, so I'm only happy to oblige.
But I don't understand. I don't need...
Yes, you do.
We thought it would be an educational extra.
That's it. A lesson for our good listeners.
To see how many bandages it takes to wrap a guy.
Especially a skinny one like Joe.
Interesting. Interesting. That's a great idea.
Well, I figured what we need here is someone to step forward. Someone with the build of your average G.I. Joe type. Some guy that can stand in for our boys overseas and give a dramatic demonstration of that great need for aforementioned surgical dressing.
Wonderful. You know thousands of boys need these bandages in every theater of war. And our Red Cross quota for Superior is 200,000 dressings, ladies. I better get started with you then, Joe.
Start with his face.
And then work your way down.
We will start with the feet and work our way up, gentlemen.
careful there. I'm just a bit ticklish around the feet.
Oh, you have to hold still or it'll just take a dull day. My, what a squirmy guy.
Just a tad ticklish around the calf, too, there, Maud.
Be gentle.
I'm going to get my camera. On with the music, friends, and we'll be back with the wrapped-up Joe. Here's Harry James and Helen Ward and their big hit, All of Me, on the Martin and McKenna Mummy Show.
Hold still, land's sake.
I'm really ticklish there.
How can I go on, dear, without?
Harry James and his orchestra with the singing of Helen Ward.
Careful! Ticklish neck!
I never knew that Joe was so sensitive.
I didn't think he'd survive the belly bandage.
Ladies, this is an example of why we have a great need for surgical dressings.
Ticklish!
Hold still! Ladies, would you give an hour, an afternoon, an evening, or several evenings of your time? The staggering number of 200,000 surgical dressings demonstrates the appalling need for such dressings. Heavens, I've never heard of a ticklish head before.
Well, it's Joe's soft spot.
Joe's looking rather immobile now.
Now comes the best part.
Ladies, this is a job that no factory or machine can do properly. It depends entirely on your hands. Hold still, Joe.
It's getting dark. I'm not crazy about having my eyes bandaged.
Rooms are located at the Elks Club at 1102 Ogden Avenue, Monday through Friday, from 1:30 until 9:30.
What? Are you talking to me? I can't hear you anymore.
Just...
Maybe this is enough. I get the idea.
Just one last bandage.
Hey, now, don't...
They're all done. It took 33 bandages to cover Joe from head to toe. That's a lot, ladies. Now, you know why we need so much done for our boys in the battle zones.
He looks like a mummy. I bet the Historical Society would like to keep him. Get some good pictures?
I'll say. This will go good with the Joe and the blood drive pictures.
Or Joe and the fallen Christmas tree pictures.
Or Joe and the pig weighing contest pictures.
I think I get the picture. This is one big practical joke.
Well, madam,
We hope you have a good sense of humor. That's it for tonight, folks. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is. And Miss Maud has a sense of humor. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
Now, let's take those bandages off.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1944, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Ray Paulson, Don Hansen, and Gene Andreese. All events reported on Radio Superior 1944 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Tony Jasmine, speaking. Good night.